And my first guest is on the line. She's Cassandra Potgieter. She's head of strategy and marketing and communications at SA Harvest. We didn't speak all that long ago, Cassandra. Great to have you back with me on Chai FM.
Thank you so much for the opportunity. And I do remember our last call very fondly.
You know what? So do I, and I mean that with absolute 100% sincerity. Then we kind of spoke about your organization, SA Harvest, and what you did. We laid the ground, and I'm grateful that we're chatting again. This time, though, I want to talk to you about where we find ourselves in a changing world. By all accounts, next month is going to be a tough month. We spoke yesterday about the fact that electricity prices are set to go up significantly. Fuel prices are set to go up significantly. The rand exchange rate is disadvantageous. And you're kind of working at that very, very end of society where you are seeing need and poverty in a way that most of us, thank goodness, don't see it. And I'm just wondering, with all that's coming, what is this going to mean for an organization like yours and your ability to kind of rescue food and feed people?
So that's a very profound and a very scary question at the same time. I do think one of the things when taking a step back, all of those scary things are coming. But one thing I do want to highlight is that no single organization will be solving the food insecurity system that we're facing alone. And what I want to do is just place it into context where what's emerging is there's a whole ecosystem of organizations working together. So each of us playing a very different role in addressing the food insecurity system. But as food prices continue to rise, we can already see more South Africans are being pushed into food insecurity, not because there's no food, but access is literally becoming unaffordable and unreliable.
Yeah, kind of a terrifying place to be. I was thinking about it. It's almost like a double squeeze because on the one hand, you're going to be feeling the demand for increased food assistance, but at the same time, it's just going to become also so much more expensive to operate. Difficult place to be. You rely on surplus and rescued food. Does that mean in difficult times like this that there's less of that?
So not at all. The thing is that there's not less food being produced. And we rescue food that would have gone to waste in the sense that it's no longer in the supply chain. Yes, we do receive donated items, but we actually in the business of obtaining food that is not procured in a normally monetary sense, but we show up and we fetch the food. Now, what happens is... The surplus food that's still in our system will still be there. 10 million tons of food goes to waste every single year. It's not getting less because as a sovereignty, South Africa doesn't produce less food. It's not like we're making less. It's just that people can't afford it. So the food will still be there. And as long as our trucks can move, that food will be collected.
Tell me something, Cassandra, just as you talking about that particular point, so in my mind, I'm remembering seeing some time ago certain countries burning excess because they didn't want the market to be flooded with certain goods. Have we ever done things like that in South Africa? Have we ever destroyed food in order to ensure that the market remains where the producers want it to be, or have we not reached that kind of point in our development yet?
Our legislative landscape is actually very interesting in that regard. We don't burn food or dispose of food in that manner to manipulate the market.
Interesting.
However, the regulatory compliance, that onus that is on producers, farmers, and all of the people in the supply chain is so great that from a liability perspective, we do have to prevent certain food from going back into the food chain system. And there are food items that do get burned, or can I rather say incinerated, purely because the liability and the risk is too great of that food going back into the system.
That's acceptable, and that's a public health issue, and that's not let's burn food to incinerate food in order to create scarcity to keep prices up. So, I mean, that makes a whole lot of sense, a whole lot of sense to me.
Yeah.
Just want to look at some of the input costs and the challenges and struggles that you must be facing. Let's just talk about fuel for one. I mean, the fuel price is set to go up by at least 4 rand a litre. You've spoken to me now and in the past about the fact that you do distribute food countrywide. Is this increase in the price of fuel going to affect your ability to move food across the country, and is it going to force you to make some kind of tough decisions?
We are going to feel, first things, let's deal with this in two stages. So first of all, yes, the impact is very real.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, we are going to feel it on many, many levels, not just on a business level, on a household level, on an individual level. We are all going to feel the pinch. The SA Harvest business model to date, what we do is we also rely, despite us having our trucks where the cost will go up, and we're working it into our budgets, and we're raising funds very hard at the moment for that purpose, because we understand what is coming, to your point, what decisions will need to be made. But we also have a very interesting model that saves us at the same time, and that's called the reverse logistics model.
Okay.
That's basically where we rally the members of the Road Freight Association in South Africa. And we put a call out to say, we've got a load here. Anyone with an empty leg is where there's no load,
sure,
but the truck needs to travel back.
Yes.
Please, will you pick it up on the way and bring it along with you? The humanitarian response from the members of the RFA is groundbreaking. I cannot explain to you the heart and soul of that community that rallies behind us whenever we put a call out like that.
You're actually really moving me now. You're really, really moving me now. I mean, you're seeing, it must be something to go to work and actually see the best of what people can be instead of the worst of what they can be. I mean, that's really something. You put out a call, you've got an empty truck, please take the food, and you're telling me that you are getting very positive responses. That's just awesome.
Generous. People like Victor, who would say, please, we've got these interlinks. What do you need to move? How much do you need to move? Just give us the dates. We can reroute it slightly. But the long and the short of it is they're doing it on their cost. The entities are doing it at a cost that they built it into their logistics system already. So that means all we need to do is connect the dots. We are bringing the stakeholders together. If there's food, we arrange the logistics through our partners to get to the communities that need it. That's our only saving grace at this point in time. It will get more difficult, granted, because one of the elements is we also deliver free of charge to our community-based organizations. Mm. It comes to our warehouse, we process it in that, but we've already tried building that buffer from last month already to say, okay, this is a reality. We cannot stick our heads in the sand like ostriches, and how are we going to buffer for it? We've got a little bit of leeway, but we are rallying hard around our fundraisers to say, this is a reality we are going to face. Please help.
I know I'm taking through all these inputs. It's just really fascinating to me. So you've spoken about the logistics of the transport. I get that. Talk to me about the cold storage, because once again, electricity hikes are on the cards. Does cold storage play any kind of significant role in your distribution network?
Huge. The element of our market from a cold storage perspective is that the main source of food that moves through that is protein. Now, I'm going to come left field there with the nutritional basket of what we can compile, because we can all become vegetarian and live on veggies only.
Yeah.
But the protein-based plants, from that perspective, they're a little bit harder to come by. And at the moment, we have such a hugely skewed malnutrition in our country that one in four children are stunted. 25% of our children are stunted.
That's crazy.
Love to put that into context. A lot of people say, oh, so they just didn't get enough nutrition. What we really want to get across and make people aware of is the children who do not get the opportunity to eat correctly, who are not well nourished, do not get to catch up that shortfall. That means it's permanent brain damage for children who will have a learning disability, a chance at living, permanently in future. That means 25% of children face this in our country right now.
That's a crazy statistic that you've just mentioned to me. I'm looking at the time. I'm nearly out of it. Final question for you. So we are hyper aware that food prices are going to rise. What does South Africa need to do right at this moment to protect the millions of people who can't absorb another food price shock?
I do think that it's on a regulatory level where I know the government is looking to buffer for that. And we can talk about policy and all of those things. But to be honest with you, I don't think there's a single answer. I think it's going to come back to all the community and all the organizations and our ecosystem that will have to play a part, because we all bring, we cook, we rescue, we distribute, everyone plays a role. And at each tier in society, we will have to come together and not say, how can we outsmart each other, but say, how are we going to pull together as a community to manage this? And God help us, because the threat is very real. But at the same time, I can tell you, I believe that people will be able to manage this.
Cassandra Potgieter, another fantastic conversation. Thank you so much for your time with me this afternoon.